Thank you all for spending your lunchtime with us today. I see some of you have your time off from work, but we appreciate you being here, and we've had good attendance this week. I thank Jeff yesterday, and we'll mirror on some of the things he said yesterday, and Pastor Steve did a great job on Monday. So I want to open us in prayer this morning and give thanks to the Lord for this day and this opportunity. Father, we thank you for this day, and we just give you praise for the significance of this week and what it is to our faith, what it is to this world. And I just pray you bless this time. I lift up Elaine to you today, the loss of her daughter, and pray comfort for her and healing for her, that she would hear you. And I lift up the Grahams to you today, and Jimmy and Martha, and I just we continue to pray for their son. And we lift up everyone represented here today, and we lift up those who were not able to be here today. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your place, the place you prepared for all of us who call upon you and have that relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Gospel of John is where I'm going to be teaching from today. And the Gospel of John was the last Gospel that was written. And as such, it has several accounts that are found, that are not found in any other Gospels. It was as if you think about the Apostle John, it is as if that he looked back on the life of Jesus and decided to be sure to be, that he included those special moments that did not deserve to be left out of the story. One of those moments, a pivotal moment that we will be sharing tonight, is in John 13. During the Last Supper, the final meal that Jesus ate with his disciples before he was arrested, and Jesus washed their feet. And while foot washing is somewhat unusual today, unless you're at Hillview, it's something we celebrate every year at Holy Week. And I remember about, more than 10 years ago when I experienced foot washing for the first time. And I did not want to participate in foot washing. Why do you suppose I didn't want to participate in foot washing?
Don't want anybody to see your feet.
No, I have good looking feet. But no, I'm just kidding. But why would we not want to do that? It's humbling, and we are not in what? Control. Because we're not in control when someone's in, but we're in control if I'm washing your feet, who's? I'm in control. And so, but I discovered that it was so humbling. And I will never forget it. And I remember weeping. And I was embarrassed because it was like somebody had unplugged something in my eyes and it just would not stop. So it was healing for me. It was very healing. And so if you've never been to a foot washing, please experience it. And if you know someone that is very dear to you that has not experienced it, please invite them this evening. But Christ proved his enduring love to his disciples, although they were soon to be separated. He exhibited such a beautiful thing and exhibited such love. He both showed his love for them and expressed his love for them by doing what? Washing his feet. Let's begin here at John 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world. And I would suppose with you all today that Jesus sensed that there was some strife in and among the disciples. Would you agree with that? Okay. So, which would be one of the precursors leading him to wash their feet. Because a master would not be washing who?
Servants'
feet. So he was providing a wonderful example. And what Jesus is doing here is he is thinking of every detail of what and the significance of this would be that would be far beyond that day. Because that's just what Jesus, it's just what He does. It's what He did. He was always thinking about who was going to be glorified. Who did He seek to glorify? His Father. He sought to love who? Everyone. And this is just another example of Him embodying those things. None of the disciples was willing to perform the lowly duty of washing the feet of others. This service belonged to the youngest or one of the lowest rank. Then Jesus quietly did it Himself. He was fully conscious of His divine character while He knelt before the disciples, washing their feet. So there was no fanfare when He got up to wash their feet, was there? And we'll watch this in a few moments. But He knew exactly what He was doing. Whenever I had my feet washed for the first time, Jesus knew exactly what that would mean to me and how that would mature me, how that would humble me, how that I would feel love as a result of that. How if He had experienced these things and had provided that example, we too are to provide that
example.
Sometimes we just make things more difficult than they need to be. Oh, you're fine. Thank you for being here. And He even goes on, it's like, and we read through this, that they did not at the time realize what Jesus was doing, did they?
No.
Really, didn't realize the ramifications of it. There are many things that Jesus does, and at the time we cannot understand. There have been so many times in my life that that things have happened in my life, and Kathy, I've not understood. There are things that could have happened last week, or maybe this week, or last month that happened that I did not understand. And that I do not understand. But guess who understands it? Yes. They seem mysterious to us, yet afterwards we shall see the reason for them and find beauty in them. I love to tell this story. Some of you may have heard it and some of you may have not, but I'm going to share it with you. There was a time in my life whenever I traveled for a company and I just could not understand why I was doing that. Because it wasn't anything I sought to do. It was something that was really just landed in my lap, I feel. And I'm traveling and I'm going and I'm doing, I'm running here, running there, and I was just so empty. And I just said, why in the world am I doing this? And I look back on it now and God was preparing me for what I do today. Because God saw all those things. And I will tell you with utter certainty, with utter truth, and with clarity by the power of the Holy Spirit that I'd rather work for the designer of the universe than any designer of a chino pant. Because what He's done and what He is going to do in and through us is going to be far, far exceeding as to what anything the world is going to offer us.
Amen.
And what He provided for us in John 13 far exceeds anything that anyone else could have provided for us in that moment. And for it to have the longevity that it has today. At one time, Jacob said, all these things are against me in Genesis 42. But he lived to see that the very things which he thought were against him were really working for his good. So it is always in the dealings of God and His people that we may not understand now, but one day we will understand that He knew and could see things we could not see. I'll use this example. The tapestry weavers do their work on the reverse side, looking at the ends and threads, a mystery of tangle and confusion. but not seeing the beautiful picture they are making on the other side. So, we, very similarly, if we're following what God's wanting us to do, and even if we haven't, He'll bring those things and bring some blessings and some blessings out of it. So we are weaving our lives largely on the reverse side, and someday we shall look at them, Jamie, and we will see the beauty of how unconsciously and how consciously God was working in and through all these things so that He could be glorified. And sometimes I say, what on earth? Why on earth am I experiencing some of these things? And I believe Jesus just says, well, you just don't need to know that right now. And the disciples didn't have to know just right then what Jesus was doing, but they were going to allow Him to do it. Let's read about it. Finally, Jesus taught us about the importance of sacrifice. Okay? The evening meal, beginning with verse 2, chapter 13. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Now, this is where I'm going to mirror and bounce off what Pastor Jeff said yesterday. Pastor Jeff referred to how Satan longs to enter into what, Jeff? Huh? Enter into us. So that we could be what? Not what God wants us to be. And I appreciate what Jeff said yesterday, because Jeff said, we've all been who, Jeff? Yes. Oh, I will talk about those that have been Judas to me, but I won't tell you who I've been Judas to. I don't ever hear any of the pastors talk about who they've been Judas to. And I am one of them that will not say that. But we will always call who has been Judas to us. And so Jeff, sharing that yesterday, and as I was preparing this morning, and I'm reading, the evening meal was being served and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew. What's powerful about that right there? Jesus what? Jesus knew. Just as Jesus knows what's going to be best for us and what's happening to us now, He's going to do something with, and it's going to be, when we get on the other side of the problem, we'll see how Jesus is doing what, Elaine? Working through us. Yes. And working through grief and crisis. He does it. Okay. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under whose power?
Jesus.
His power. And that He had come from who?
God.
Okay. What can we learn from that? Jesus knew that the Father put all things under His power. So who has power over us?
Jesus.
Who gave Him that power?
God.
Who are we to trust?
Jesus.
Why do we not do that? Wait, let me rephrase that. Why does Markel not do that?
Fear.
Fear? Ignorance? I'm talking about myself. I'm not calling y'all ignorant. I can be ignorant. But why don't I trust God with all things? Because I want to be... Oh, no, surely not. The mistakes that have been made at this church or made in any other place in your marriage, in your relationships, is because you have wanted to be in
control.
And we're not God. Oh, we'll have control for a moment. For a millisecond. Whatever have the shortest span of time is, okay? Let's return to reading here. That He had come from God and was returning to God, so He got up from the meal. Picture this. Hey, buddy. He got up from the meal. It's a double mint twin. How are you? Good. He got up from the meal, took off His outer... Okay. The Bible says that when Jesus was washing His disciples' feet, He did what? Removed or took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. As far as I know, there are only two instances in the gospel when Jesus removes his robe. This is one of them. When's the other? The crucifixion. Did one moment of time of him removing his robe lead, and was it a prelude to him really removing the robe and fulfilling what God had called him to do? Did I say at the beginning of this that Jesus was very detail-oriented and thought everything through? Well, this is no exception. And I have to challenge myself, friends, that I will read Scripture, just so skim over Scripture, that I will oftentimes not read it with the meaning it needs, not digest it the way it's supposed to be digested, because you can't read over this and not reflect on what it's about and it not touch you. Now, in years past, whenever we've had foot washing, it was one of the lowest attended services we had the week of Holy Week. However, last week it was what? It was one of the largest we had, I think. You know, in terms of the years before when it came to foot washing. I think that shows some maturity here. I think that shows some embracing of what is written here in John. Okay. And he says, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, what? Lord, are you going to wash my... How many of you have been like Simon Peter? The first foot washing I came to, I didn't come skippity-doo-dah in here. I couldn't wait to get my feet washed. It wasn't the way I felt about it. And it wasn't Jesus washing my feet, although it was through a follower of Jesus that washed my feet. And through the love of Jesus was what washed my feet. There was something generous in Peter's outspoken feeling that he could not allow Jesus to wash his feet. Why is that? What do you suppose that is? It seemed upside down to him, I guess. Oftentimes, too, when we are humbled, what happens to us? We're afraid that maybe we will be unworthy, uncovered. We may feel conviction. God may bring things out of us that He wants to replace with something else. Because none of us want everything to be out. And I believe that's part of what maybe he was experiencing. I don't know. I've never spoken to him. I'm just surmising based upon some of these things that I'm reading here today. Let's go to verse 8. To verse 7, Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will what? Which we'll go back to one of the first examples I gave today was about the tapestry. We will realize it sometime. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my... When was the last time you said no to Jesus? Probably this morning. Maybe 5 minutes before we came up here. But see, even with this, we'll want to look and say, look, Peter said no to Jesus. But we won't say when we said no to. How many of you responded to an altar to receive, have a relationship with Jesus the first time you were given an invitation? Then we're like what? Peter. When was the last time you thought how many times you've said no to Jesus like Peter did? You said yes to everything that would glorify you, or yes to everything that you would want to do. And I'm going to reverse it back to me. Yes to everything that would glorify me. Yes to everything that would be something I wanted to do. But it's not in those moments that Jesus has grown me. It is not in those moments that Jesus has really... I can call on more of those moments where they've been pivotal in my life versus the moments that I've done what Mark has wanted to do. Let's go on. Jesus answered. Do you think Jesus yelled when he did this?
No.
I don't. Unless I wash, you have no part with. Now, I don't know about you, but to hear Jesus say that to me, I would feel like what? Kathy says crap. But it would get your what? It would get your attention. But I'm telling you, there are many things that Jesus says to us, but we are doing this. La, 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 la. And so tonight when you come to foot washing, it's my prayer for myself and all of you and all those who are coming that are not here in this moment, that we would so hear what Jesus is wanting to say to us and how He so wants things for us that we have yet to see, that we have yet to experience at the depth and the level that He longs for us to have it. He's not a crumb sort of God. But I'll just tell you, I have some crumb behavior. And if we got all honest with each other, we've all got some crumb behavior. Unless I wash you, you have no part of me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied. Now this sounds like something we'd all do. Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Because once we get something and we think it's going to be it, then we're not satisfied with that. We want what else?
All of it.
Because you're looking at a 49-year-old man that likes stuff. Whatever I have, I want more of it. I should have been named what? Hey. Oh, Lord, Chuck. You could have named me Peter. Because I would mirror Peter more than I would be mirroring Jesus. Because if you're going to do that, then just let's have it all. Let's have D all the above. But Jesus says, Jesus answered, a person has had a bath, needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are
clean.
Though not every one of
you.
What does it feel like to be unclean?
Crap.
What does it feel like to be spiritually unclean? Because we'll focus on physical unclean. What does it feel like to be spiritually unclean?
Good.
Unclean, not clean. How does it feel to be spiritually unclean?
I thought you said clean, baby.
No.
No.
Unclean. What does that feel like?
Depressing.
It's heavy. It's dark. You know, we had a horrible, 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 horrible thing happen here in this community last week with that child. That's because of darkness. That's all. And we are all susceptible to what Jeff said yesterday, which is what, Jeff?
Darkness.
But the more we seek and the more we take and apply what Jesus is talking about here, that we've not We are to serve one another. We are to love one another. We are to forgive one another. Oh, Lord. We are to do these things that would mirror that we too would take off our robes and we too, Kathy, would get on our knees and we too would wash the feet of whomever. And I'll just tell you, there's some people that I would have a hard time that with. And I'm only going to get better as I confess that. Because God knows what's in us. Because there'll be some people I'd be more I'd be happier to wash their feet than others. And I, y'all look at me like I'm evil. Surely you all have these things too.
Like, they do that, Mark. They do that.
Oh my. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm going to go. I didn't mean it.
We'll let you confess, Mark.
Yeah, that's right. This is it, though. Listen. This isn't just about people that you like. And there are people that I like that you've had fun getting dirty with. In the wrong, I mean, you can get dirty in the wrong way and it not be, and it would be fun. But there are people you can get dirty with that can be for something really important, like the gospel. Like, get dirty with each other. You know, go out and do it. Go to places that are not comfortable. Be around people who don't like you. Just come to church and work a while and you'll experience that. You can. He's going. You know, but we've got to do these things. We cannot. This is where we sow error. I'm only going to be around people that love like I do and like what I like and eat where I eat and dress like I dress and do everything I want. I just want to be around those people. Because if that were the case here, not, a lot of us wouldn't be here. Because we've been a place for what? Well, let me tell you something. Foot washing is for
all people.
It's not just for people that have gone to some hair and nail place and had all their toes done real good. Their feet smell good. And, you know, they're all saw them having calves on the feet. It's for all people. Okay.
Mark?
Yes.
Do you think the Lord washed Judas's feet?
Well, I would say yes.
What is that to us?
Well, that's where we are so out of line because I have just told you that we want to wash the feet of people that we like. Mm-hmm. We don't want to wash the people we don't like, but Jesus did what?
Even he knew.
And he knew what was going to what? Well, you let somebody let me know or let one of y'all know what somebody's getting ready to do to you, you won't be washing their feet. You'll be doing something else to their head. But you don't want to wash their feet.
You might waterboard them.
That's a good one. But this is the thing. If we don't read this and really reflect on what it is, we do spiritually waterboard people. But if we really read it, Chase, and we really digest what it is, we don't waterboard people. We wash their feet. And don't leave here saying, well, Mark must wash everything. Oh, no, this is about me too. I'm not preaching to you. I'm not condemning you. I'm wanting us to redeem one another in and through, not doing any of this spiritual waterboarding. I'll never be as good as people say I am, and I'll never be as bad as they say I am. But the more I follow Jesus, the more I'll be like as good as they say I could be. And the less I follow, and the less I reflect, and the less I digest what is written here, the more I'll be less likely than likely.
You know, Cindy, let me jump in and bring attention to you. Ask that question. Cindy.
Cynthia, here we go.
You know, you asked the question, did he wash Judas's feet?
Yes, he did.
I believe so too.
And he knew.
And what's this? And he also knew that the rest of them were going to split before it's over with. So in a real way, you know, I'm glad he washed Judas's feet, because that means he's willing to wash mine, because I've betrayed him too.
I have too.
I've betrayed him before. I've sat in a circle and betrayed him, and he washed my feet anyway. To me, that's the hope of grace. You know, it's the Romans passage. While we were yet sinners, Jesus still washed our feet.
One of the things too that really would even take another dimension of catching the disciples off guard was that washing of one's feet back in that day was much like taking your coat as a guest. So when Jesus gets up in the middle of what? And takes off his robe and puts on the towel, it totally went against what? Protocol, tradition. But what did it do when he did that? What can you think their expressions were like? What on earth is he doing? Oh my. Don't you know their hearts are going... It's uncomfortable.
And he's out of order, Mark.
Yeah. That's the big thing that we talked about.
When you washed feet when you first came into the house, he's into the meal doing it now. So he's changed the order of worship.
That's why I said, usually they'd wash your feet when they took, like you're taking your coat. They take your coat when you first what? People come to our house, it's cold outside, we've got a little cloth, we take people's coats and we'll hang them up. Well, I'm going to be in the middle of dinner and I'm going to come take your coat and I'm going to put it in the closet. You'd think I was what?
Crazy.
We know where he is.
Well, that's true. That's up for negotiation. But the dialogue here between Peter and Jesus is something we must not just skim over here, because we're much like that ourselves. Verse 11, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. I can just think about the intonation patterns that Jesus would use with this, in the inflection. Do you understand what I have done for you? Don't you know he says that to us? Do you not understand, Mark Hale, what I have done for you? And I can say, yes, Lord, but I don't. I don't have a grasp of what all God has done for me. But the more I'll read this, and the more I'll not just skim over it, and the more I'll digest it, the better grasp I shall have and you shall have. He asked them, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I... Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash... Because foot washing is for all, not just the disciples, it's all people. Because are you a disciple? Yes. But it's for all these people, everybody to participate and be a part of it. You should also wash one of those feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who We got to be careful of that one too. If we're not careful, we get caught up in messengers instead of the message. People love to put pastors on pedestals. And they love to, it's like whenever I was a kid, I always liked game shows. Y'all ever like game shows? Or like variety shows? And it was called like this, it's called, Chuck Berry was on this show. And it was called the Gong Show. And they'd have these auditions, and sometimes people could sing, sometimes people were funny. That's where the Unknown Comic came from. Where they had the paper bag and he had the Unknown Comic ventriloquist doll. Jeff, you remember that. You're too young. We'll Google it. Well, you too. But this is why I'm using this example. Is that they'll put a pastor on a pedestal and boy, they'll gong the daylights out of him. Because they will be all about the messenger instead of the... I'm just going to tell you with truth today that all of us pastors struggle. And we're not perfect. And we have a lot of things that God's done in and through us and for us. First and foremost is redemption. But we're to learn from you all. Just as you can learn from us. We are in this together. We have got many miles yet to go. We have many more people to meet. We have many more people that have never had their feet washed. We have many more people that have not received Jesus. We have many more people that have never been to the baptistry. We have many more people that don't know what it's like to be in a godly marriage. We have many more people that don't know what it's like to see somebody live Christ out before them. Many more people. But the more we read this and the more we digest this and the more that we live this, we're going to find them. They're going to find this place. They're going to find Living Hope. They're going to find Broadway. They're going to find all these places. First Baptist, Church on Main. The light that shines brightest from home reaches the
world.
And this light will shine brighter and brighter the more we wash one another's feet. It's interesting to me that how any way I look at things on any given day, when it's a spiritual question or something I'm struggling with, I can always go to this and I can look, Steve, at the Big Five. And one of the Big Five is service. And what Jesus is talking about right here is service. Serving one another. And I am so happy for you and your family. I think that's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And only God can do that. But God will use such unlikely sources as Mark B. Hale to do a few things. And He'll use such unlikely sources as you and you and you and you and you. All of us as we what? Submit to what we're to do. Don't confuse the power. Don't fall in love with the messenger. Fall in love with the
message.
Jesus. This is what Jesus said. Now that you know these things, now joy that you know these things, you will be blessed if you why do we not do things that we know that He's wanting us to do when it's really the best thing to do? Why is that?
We want to do it our way.
Because we want to control things our way. Foot washing is very important. And I just want you to participate in it. And I want you to invite people to it. It's an individual choice. Some will do it, some won't. But who are we responsible for? And what we do or what we don't do will lead others toward Him or it's an important lesson. It's a timeless example. Of what, not just what would Jesus do, but what Jesus did. It's beautiful when you look at it. So it is, always is in the dealing of God with His people. We cannot understand now, but someday we shall know. So let's just press forward and trust and wash one another's feet. Because one day, Joy, we will all know. Father, we thank You for this day. I pray for everyone that leaves here in this moment, and just pray for their safety, and look forward to when we can be together again this evening. I thank You, Jesus, for your Word, for Your timeless teachings that never grow stale or lose their meaning because of the vivid truth they encompass and embody and hold. In Jesus' name, amen.